Good morning, church family. It is good to see everyone here. And as the plates are going around, I want to let you know about a special event that's coming up. It's going to be called the Racial Unity Worship Service. Some more information about it's in your Alta Mesa Life. But it's going to happen on Sunday night, November 26th at 6 p.m. at the Wilkerson Grinds Athletic Center. It's on I-20 as you're headed toward Arlington. It's behind the big football stadium that belongs to the Fort Worth ISD. And they're basically letting us use the Wilkerson Grinds Center for free of charge. And what this is a product of the preachers in Tarrant and Dallas and Johnson County meeting at least once a month together. And we came together and decided that we wanted to bring our congregations together from all over these three counties for just a time of worship and praise to the Father who unites us. And just frankly, this morning we're going to talk about this. The church of God should be the group of people, the place that is leading the charge in messaging, in bringing peace and love and unity to our world, as we just talked about around the table. And so I'm looking forward to this event. I'm on the planning committee that's bringing it all together, and it's starting to come together nicely. So I pray that you'll put this on your calendar, because I want Alta Mesa to be well represented on this evening, November 26th at 6 p.m. In January of this year, a movie called Hidden Figures was released. Maybe you've been able to see it. It tells the wonderful story of three African-American women whose analytical skills enabled NASA to succeed in their launch of then-astronaut John Glenn into orbit. This dynamic and brilliant trio crossed all gender and race lines to inspire people of all backgrounds to dream big. But something else that stood out to me as I watched it is that this movie is also a wake-up call to those of us that are passive beneficiaries of unjust privilege systems. And for me, the emotional climax of the movie was not John Glenn's flight into orbit, though that was pretty special, but instead for me, it was a short encounter in a newly integrated women's restroom at NASA. If you've seen the movie, you know the scene that I'm about to describe. Inside the bathroom, the white supervisor looks at Dorothy Vaughn, played by Olivia Spencer, and says to her, "I don't have anything against you." And Vaughn replies very kindly, "I know." And then she pauses and then very calmly adds to that, "I know that you believe that." And so I'm willing to assume that in a crowd this size, that as a Christ follower, as a Christian, you believe that you're not racist. And I want to I'll assume that with you, that you believe that you don't have an innate hate for people of different ethnicities. You don't wish ill on your neighbor. You don't encourage or participate in violent or direct mistreatment of them. But church, listen to me. We're going to dig a little deeper this morning, because racism goes deeper than that. It hides in the implicit biases of our conditioned hearts and minds. It lurks in the shadows of our legal systems and policies. Racism waits at the surface in the corners of our neighborhoods and businesses and, yes, even churches. And so what I'm praying today is that the Alta Mesa Church of Christ will not only be a place of refuge, of peace, but also a place of justice and freedom and love for all people that walk through our doors. A place that does not see justice and the righteousness of God as a distraction, but as an intimate part of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So listen very carefully. This message is not about making my ethnicity feel bad. All right, that's not what this message is about. In addition, it's not about giving us a platform to defend how we're doing better in race relations. That's not what this message is about. But this message is for those that know what bondage feels like. This message is for those who have descendants of bondage in its most literal forms. But this message is also today for those of us that are descendants of privilege, to those that directly benefit from biased systems that have been passed down to us. So I pray that you'll pay close attention to this video clip from Abilene Christian University. It was at the summit this year, a woman named Thelma Bryant Davis, a professor and a poet and a preacher and a singer. She's highly talented. She's at Pepperdine University in their Graduate School of Education and Psychology. She shared a story that I believe will set the stage for our message today. Let's listen to this clip.
I'm going to tell you a story that community leaders used to demonstrate some issues in the reconciliation process in South Africa after apartheid. In the story, one boy takes another boy's bike. And for weeks, the thief rides the stolen bike up and down the street. The boy whose bike was stolen is left with no justice, no intervention. No one comes to help him. He's just sitting looking out of his window, watching his bike. Well, sometime later, the boy who stole the bike comes to the boy's house and knocks on the door. When he opens the door, the two boys are standing face to face. The boy who stole the bike says, "I really want you to forgive me, and I hope we can be friends." And the boy whose bike was stolen says, "Where's my bike?" And the boy who stole the bike says, "I'm not here to talk about the bike. The bike is a distraction. What I want to know is, will you forgive me, and can we be friends?" And so I came on today to say, let us not be the kind of church that says justice is a distraction, resources are a distraction, policy is a distraction. Can't we all just be grateful and love each other and be sisters and brothers in Christ? No. Where's the bike? We have to follow the model of Jesus, who fed the thousands, not only spiritually, but physically. We have to follow the model of Jesus, who turned over tables of unrighteousness. We have to follow the model of the disciples, who, when they noticed certain widows were not being fed, they had to come and turn the circumstance and change the system. Let us create an atmosphere where love and justice and gratitude can walk together.
For the church of Jesus Christ is the same as Thelma Bryant Davis, that we will refuse to see justice and the righteousness of Jesus as a distraction, but instead that we would unite together as one body to tear down the walls of apathy and ignorance and silence. And what I believe that will do is it will create space for deep, helpful, meaningful conversations where we get to know each other and we can talk about the bike, because that's important. Further, we're called by Jesus Christ to imagine the values of the kingdom of God breaking in the world, the value of love and not hate, the value of dignity and not dehumanization, the value of compassion and not complacency. And so my prayer today, again, is that we're reminded that the kingdom of God is within us and among us as we unite together in the name of Christ in one body. This message today is intended to wake us up to the realization that racism is still alive and well among us in direct and in indirect ways. And that the church of Jesus, we shouldn't just stand at that wall and be emotionally moved by it, but we should rally together to do something about it, to tear it down. Yeah. That's what this message is about today. But finally, this message today is to remind us all that Jesus has set us free. And who he has set us free indeed. But free to do what? and free to be what? And these are important questions for us to wrestle with, and these are questions that the first century church were struggling with as well, being challenged by the diversity that was among them. They had people from all kinds of backgrounds. The main two kind of overarching were the Jews and the Gentiles. I want you to turn with me and read with me from Ephesians 2, if you have your Bible or Bible app. We're going to read a lengthy scripture this morning, but the message is clear. Through the blood of Jesus, all dividing walls have been destroyed to establish one body. So let this text sink into you this morning. Starting in verse 11 of Ephesians 2. Therefore, remember that formerly you all who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, that done in the body by the hands of men, remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing in his flesh the law with its commandments and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new man out of the two, thus making peace, and in this one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross by which he put to death their hostility. He came and he preached peace to those of you who were far away and peace to those who were near. For through him, we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Now, consequently, you who are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. Let's pray. Father, just in the next few minutes, would you open our eyes and ears to your message? Would you allow us to not be defensive? Would you allow us, God, to be open to reflection, open to recognition, and open to your kingdom values? In Jesus' name, amen. Church, racial tension and diversity and discrimination, they're nothing new under the sun, right? The first century had these things. The Jews were people directly connected to the covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and it was a covenant with Yahweh God, right? These were the Jews, and Abraham was promised that his descendants would be the nation that would then bless all the other nations of the world. With this blessing, as you read the story of Israel in the Old Testament, came privilege, came responsibility, and at times the people of God would take advantage of those privileges and responsibilities and use it as an excuse to mistreat or even hate other people on earth. All these other people are generally known as the Gentiles. And that's why Ephesians 2, as you read that text this morning, Paul uses strong, even politically charged words like strangers and aliens and citizens, because he's preaching against prejudice. He's preaching against exclusion. He's preaching against hostility. And Paul is announcing something new, an achieved unity, an achieved new entity through the blood and the body of Jesus Christ. Where old identifiers such as nationhood and citizenship and some type of privileged belonging that the Israelites had created in their own minds and taken advantage of what God was trying to use them to do for the world. Through Christ, all of those old identifiers are rendered irrelevant. Amen. A new household was formed by Jesus Christ, and Paul is preaching to the first century church, and he's preaching to us today. All people are welcome. All people are invited, where the promises of God and the Spirit of God are for all people, for those who confess and follow Jesus as Lord and Savior. I believe the pivotal verse in all of this is verse 18. Look back with me there. Through Jesus, we all have access to the Father by the one Spirit. Access is a key word there for the people of God. That veil that served as a representation, as a dividing wall of hostility, it had been torn down. It is torn down by Jesus Christ so that we all have mutual access to God. Mutual access to God. In other words, Paul's main message for the church then is the main and significant message for the church today. All have access, and there's privilege to some, but it's not who you think it is. We'll talk more about that next week. You're probably saying privilege to some. Wait a minute. Well, let me give you a hint about what we'll talk about next week. Privilege in the economy of the kingdom is not earned. It can't be claimed. It can only be humbly received from Almighty God. And again, it's not who you think it is. So come back next week and we'll talk more about that. But through Jesus, we all have access to the Father by one Spirit. And one of the core messages of the gospel of Jesus Christ is that at the foot of the cross, the playing field has been made level. We're all equal and mutually given access to God through Jesus. And just as these beautiful sisters and some of you are shaking your heads and saying, we're saying amen to all of these things because they're true and they're right. But here's where it gets harder. At least harder for me is when we begin to step back and broaden our view just a little bit, because the same gospel of Jesus that unifies the body, that brings us access to the Father, it's the same gospel that decenters any privileged group. Think of the words of Jesus here. The first will be last, and the last will be first. This is obviously a countercultural idea, because all around us, even us, we're going after power and privilege and position. We want those things. Sometimes it's driven out of selfishness and greed. So the question that I want us to consider for the next few minutes is, how can we as a body of Christ here at Alta Mesa, how can we intentionally be diverse? How can we intentionally be an integrated body of Jesus Christ that values reconciliation over any other perceived earthly ideas like privilege or power? A church that values discipleship over discrimination. How can we intentionally be that kind of church? Because listen, Alta Mesa, there's a huge blessing happening, has been happening. God is bringing all kinds of people that are gathering here to worship His name. And it's not just this service, it's also first service. And it's people all throughout the week coming to our campus that are from all kinds of different backgrounds. God is saying, you want to be diverse, I'm trying to help you out here. But the question for us is, how can we participate in that? So this is I sent an email out this week, and this isn't an answer-all sermon. This isn't a new conversation. This is a conversation that we've been having and we're going to continue to have because it's important. It's significant. So this is just the next part, the next installment, if you will, of the conversation. So I'm going to give you a couple of things to chew on as we leave today. And they're hard for me to talk about, but they're important. So here's the first one. We need to foster real relationships. And I say real relationships intentionally there. We need to stop trying to be good people for the sake of being good or better. There's people all around us saying, I can do better here. I can be good at this. We don't need to be good. God has called us to something greater in Jesus' name. God has called us to be ambassadors of reconciliation. And I don't know what those words mean to you, but they go deeper for me. We're to be ambassadors of reconciliation. This requires us to be real. It requires us to be authentic. It requires us to be genuine as we get to know other people. So what does this look like in terms of racial reconciliation? I want to start with this question. I want you to ask yourself this question. Who is it that you implicitly run away from? Who is it that you implicitly run away from? And the answer is going to be different for all of us, right? But in other words, what I want you to think about is when you see a person or a specific group of people and you start to get internally nervous or anxious and you don't know why. You don't even know why. You don't even know what's happening. You just feel yourself internally and implicitly getting anxious and nervous. Who is that person for you? Who is that people group for you? And again, just in the sense of just being real this morning, generally speaking, for my ethnicity, for white people, when we see people of another ethnicity, specifically, more than likely, black people, in a public or certainly in a secluded place, we oftentimes can get nervous, we can get anxious, and it's something inside of us that's implicitly happening, and we don't know why it's there, but it's there. And I just want to say, for me, I hate that implicit response that's inside of me. Because that's a part of me. I struggle with this. And I just want you to know that I've asked God to help me with that. And over the past couple of years, here's how I've combated that with the help of God. And I am nowhere near where I need to be. But this is something that has helped me. And I want to challenge you to do this. Instead of walking away or even running away from people, I'm moving toward them. And here's what that looks like for me. I'm beginning to sit, and I'm beginning to listen, and I'm beginning to get to know people of color, but not just people of color, church, listen, awesome people of color. I sit with people, and I talk with them, and I listen to them, and I stare at them. They probably get creeped out from time to time. But I want to get to know them sincerely, and I want them to get to know me sincerely. And as I get to know them, I love them better. And the anxiousness and the fear that's implicitly within me, wherever, begins to erode, and God, through His Spirit, begins to tear that wall down. So here's your challenge, should you accept it. Ask someone of a different ethnicity to be a conversation partner for you. Ask them if they would sit with you and talk with you and share with you their story and their faith, and you just listen. And I want to give you three words that have been tremendously impactful for me on this journey that I continue. You ready? Tell me more. Tell me more. Because we're not good at listening about sincerely and humbly just paying attention to someone when they're sharing with us. So when they share something, you might not even agree with it. It may rattle your cage a little bit and think, I've never thought of it that way, or I don't necessarily believe that, or whatever. Instead of being defensive, say, hey, that's interesting to me. Tell me more. Tell me more. So if you want to engage in this challenge, and I pray that you will, use those three words. Tell me more. Here's the second thing real quickly. Gospel-centric actions. When we see or when we hear something that is wrong, that is hateful, that is biased, that is harmful in our personal relationships, yes, because racism is one-to-one. It can happen face-to-face, one-to-one. But racism, again, is bigger than that. And so if we see something in our communities, if we see something in our neighborhoods, or certainly in the world around us, let us speak words of Jesus. Let us have gospel-centric actions together, as a body of Christ. This is highly important for us. And let me tell you something before I close with this last story. It's about holiday season, right? Thanksgiving, The Advent season, Christmas, is right around the corner. And maybe it's hardest for us to do these things with our loved ones, with our closest friends, when they say something that is racist, or they do something that is just hateful toward another people group. Let us be people that have a gospel-centric response to that. Let us even correct our loved ones when it's hard. Because listen, there's someone watching. Someone is watching. It's our children. Our children are paying attention. Our children are watching. So we need to speak up. And it's not always in the public. It's in our day-to-day actions and encounters with people. But the story I'm going to tell you was fairly public. And sometimes reconciliation calls for this. When Jackie Robinson was added to the Brooklyn Dodgers baseball team, he became the first African-American to break the color barrier. And everywhere that Robinson went, racial slurs were hurled hatefully at him. If you've seen the movie 42, we get a brief glimpse into what this might have been like. This was especially true when he was traveling on the road. Fans would just downright be brutal toward him. But there was one day, and I got this inflection from Robinson himself in an article where he was being interviewed about this. And he said there was one day that they were playing in front of the hometown crowd in Brooklyn. And it was in the late innings, and a ground ball came to him, and he kind of booted it and made an error, and he didn't get the out. And so when time was called, the manager came out, and they were doing a pitcher change, and the new pitcher was coming out, and that new pitcher was warming up. And Jackie says, "I was standing around second base, and that's when the fans started to stand up, and they started to hurl racial slurs at me, even at home." And he said, "I already felt horrible about the play, but I just stood there on second with my shoulders slumped and my eyes toward the ground, and it just kept getting louder and louder and more hateful and more hateful." But then he said, Pee Wee Reese, another Brooklyn Dodger who was well respected, saw and obviously heard what was happening, and he walked over toward Jackie Robinson, and he put his arm around Jackie. And he just stood there with him. And Jackie said, he whispered over to him and he said, "Don't worry, we've all made plays like that. We've all made plays like that." And he patted him on the shoulder. And Jackie said, "Pee Wee stood there with me until one by one, every fan sat down and got quiet. And when all the fans had stopped shouting, Pee Wee Reese patted him on the shoulder one more time and went back to his position." So church, the best place I know to begin to tear down the wall of implicit biases and racial discrimination, as according to the kingdom way of Jesus, is to foster real relationships through gospel-centric values and actions. We must stand up for one another. We must be with and for one another as God is with and for us. And so may God continue to be merciful toward us as we strive to be people of reconciliation. So to our God who hears and sees all people, to our God who is with us always, never far away, our God who is for us, not against, and to Jesus Christ our King, who invites us to his table of grace, and to our God, who calls us to imagine, as we talked about this morning, the kingdom of God breaking into the world. And to our God who commands us to love God and neighbor. And to the Spirit of God who empowers and unleashes the people of God to live out these kingdom realities. All praises to him for his unfailing love and his unending mercies. To him be glory and honor forever and ever, and together the church said, amen. Let's pray together, please. Father God, we love you and we adore you. God, today we just want to leave here better disciples, equipped and empowered by your Spirit to do great and wonderful things. God, we can't do this on our own. We certainly cannot. And so we need you to empower us. We need you to unleash us, to go into the world, to go just to our neighbor, to our coworker, to our family member, and to say, tell me more. Tell me more about your story. Tell me more about your faith. And God, through these simple actions, may you do something great. May you bring us together through reconciled relationships and reconciled communities so that the world may know that you are God and that you are God alone. We pray through the powerful name of Jesus. Amen. Let's stand up.